Thanks for inviting me again, Tony. This is Moin Yassin, founder director of Global Vision 2000, a UK-based think tank focusing on the Islamic world and global political economy. And I think it was after Trump, I'm trying to remember correctly, declared Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, I realized it set an alarm bell about eschatology. So since then, quite a lot of extensive work and indeed a series of seminars, as you know, took place.
Yeah, I wonder if you could say what you think of Trump, because it seems that there is a sort of Democrat Party which is into social equality, redistribution of wealth, but it's into a whole lot of things that many Americans just simply don't agree with, such as the transgender thing, also starting wars and this kind of stuff. But it certainly looks as if Trump is a pretty strong Christian Zionist. It may be that he's being prepared to take over for an important phase of history to come.
Well, you've raised, that's a huge issue, Trump. but to stick to what you've said, the reason I mention that is we perhaps might not be having a discussion on Trump. As you know, he moved his head slightly. Otherwise, it would have been blown to bits, and God knows whether America, what its state would be right now, actually. But leaving that aside, which was miraculous or providential, is the my belief on so-called democracy. Me and indeed some Western thinker like Philip Bree, for instance, we use the word demonocracy quite specifically and deliberately. The first point is that what we refer to as democracy, like Britain, for instance, especially parliamentary democracies, the opposition and the ruling party are really two heads of the same coin. It's really a uniparty. So I know there are, superficial differences, but I think they're two heads of the same coin. I don't really think it makes a huge difference, especially when they might say certain things before they come into power. However, when they are in number 10 or in the White House, they realize they're just a salesman. I know a lot about sales over 20, 25 years in it. They're basically salesmen for those in power. So I'm very skeptical about, what they really represent. They are really puppets controlled by puppet masters who are demonic. I think I will be emphasizing that today about all the, superficial material political events. There is a very sinister and satanic manifesto and manifestation that is rapidly taking the world by storm.
The thing with Trump, the interesting thing for me, is his all these various court cases against him.
Yes.
Made him much more popular. And I can remember looking at the rise of Adolf Hitler. Now, I'm not saying Trump is Hitler, but it was interesting that he was, in fact, incarcerated, wasn't he, in the 1930s in jail. And this turned him into a sort of hero. There seemed to be the same kind of thing going on in the United States, that his opponents in the Democratic Party and in the deep state his popularity has been rising as these persecutions are taking place, which clearly are persecutions. I mean, the judicial system has been weaponized against him.
Yeah.
But despite the fact that this is increasing his popularity, it doesn't seem to have persuaded them to slow down or stop. It's almost as if the whole thing is a kind of to create this kind of victim syndrome, and to garner him, the effect has been to garner him more and more sympathy. So it seems to me there's all sorts of, you know, behind the scenes manipulations going on with Trump specifically. I just wonder what you think. I mean, if he does come to be president in 2025, what that really means for the world.
Well, as I mentioned, you've raised huge issues. As I was saying, would we be still having this discussion if the attempted assassination was successful? God knows what would be happening in America right now, whether it be civil strife, riots, maybe civil war, maybe an exaggeration. But it's quite clear to me there was an attempt by the deep state to get rid of him. To believe that there was some youngster, doing what he tried to do, was the only person behind it is naivety. Having said that, nothing can be understood in our Dajjalic times. Very simply, there are layers of deceit going on, deception. But the bottom line is, as I was saying, in Western democracies, the opposition, whoever they are, and the ruling party are basically two heads of the same coin, because ultimately they're controlled by the puppet masters.
Yeah, so you say Dajjalic times. So
yes, definitely.
The main reason I wanted to hear from you, Maureen, was the... from an eschatological perspective, that is looking at the Quranic prophecies, maybe you could just explain to me some of the real sort of basics of it. So whether stuff is in the Quran itself, whether these are writings written by mullahs many years ago as interpretations of the Quran. So obviously we've got, so for example, in Judaism, there's the Bible itself, which has got things about the end of the world in the book of Daniel, for example. And then you've also got the Talmud, which is the rabbinic interpretation. So it's not quite so rock solid, you might say, as the original text in Muslims' case, the Quran. So give us the base, this Dajjal, what does it say in the Quran about the Dajjal, and who are the other sort of figures?
Yeah, okay, a huge question. It's a very special body of knowledge, but it could be summed up quite simply. There is a alpha and omega. There's a beginning and end, both at the micro level and, you know, for the human life cycle, but also for civilization, global civilization. The Islamic knowledge or body of knowledge pertaining to what we are talking about in times is in two main sources. Both are written. One is the Quran, which Muslims, as you know, believe is divine revelation transmitted via Gabriel to Muhammad. It is believed to be revelation, unadulterated, and coming to Muhammad as the culmination of all revelations. So we don't think it's a one-off. Well, it is a one-off to some extent, standalone book, etc., but it's meant to be viewed in the context of the Torah, Psalms, and Geel, Gospels, etc. It's a follow-on. And the other body of knowledge which is written is the Hadith, what the Prophet is said to have said. It's a whole body. Indeed, it's the second source of Islamic law. much more detailed. Indeed, the Sharia, a lot of the Sharia comes from it, because the life of the Prophet was seen to be a model, how he ate, slept, fought, traded, prayed, you name it. So okay. It comes from those two sources.
Who are the authors? Who's the author of the Hadith then?
Well, the disciples. It had to come from the early companions, but then a chain of transmission, you know, from one generation to another, was it's a whole science behind that. I studied that quite a while ago. But initially, it's from the disciples, if you want to call it, or the first generation, but then passed to the next generation. And there is a whole science of whether certain sayings and actions are strong, weak, or unproven. So there's a whole science behind it. But the bottom line is, just to finish, there is a, in the collections of the Hadith, there is an actually book, a section quite detailed called the Book of Fitan, which refers to end times and the time of tribulation, etc., trials and tribulation.
I wonder if that's sort of equivalent to the Christian's Book of Revelation. I'm not sure. But
if you want to call it that, but it is certainly there, the Kitab al-Fitan.
Yeah, interesting. Anyway, look, two questions I really wanted to talk to you about today. One is the who are the major figures and the major prophecies in the Quran and the Hadith about the end of the world. I mean, the reason I'm interested in it is because I see things happening. You know, there's a lot of focus now on Jerusalem, particularly on the Wailing Wall, the Third Temple, the Dome of the Rock, the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And of course, the growing horrors in Gaza are unfolding quite
possibly. Definitely.
So this is all unfolding. The other thing is, certainly from a Christian point of view, we have this thing called the Mark of the Beast, which is which you will only be able to trade if you have the Mark of the Beast. So this is obviously in being interpreted now as the contactless payment cards, digital money, all this sort of thing. So give us your, in a nutshell, view of what the Hadith and the Quran say the end of the world is going to look like from an Islamic point of view.
Well, I mean, it can be conceptualized from minor signs, which are documented in the Kitab al-Fitan, to the major signs. Basically, what you're hinting at and what you want me to talk about is the major signs. And from my research on other Islamic thinkers, basically the list of minor signs, we're moving from the minor to the major. The major signs is the coming, is basically Armageddon or Malhama. Malhama, you call it Armageddon, we call it Malhama Wars, and the Great War. And the coming of Imam Mahdi, who I conceptualize, well, I'll come back to how I conceptualize him. So the Malhama, Imam Mahdi, Isa, Jesus, Second Coming, and the Dajjal. Well, the order would be, let me get this right. Malhama, the war or great war, Imam Mahdi, Dajjal, the, basically what would be called the Jewish Antichrist, and then Isa, Jesus. I would put it in that order. And I mentioned major signs, so that means we're moving away from minor signs. Well, the minor signs, we could speak a whole, a whole session, but just to give you a flavour, it refers to the rise of immorality, LGBT, time moving faster, frequency of disasters, luxury, mosques being ostentatious and bigger, cheating, commercial advertising and use of or degradation of femininity, etc., music, dance, adultery, the lack of jihad amongst Muslims, even things like the destruction of Syria and Iraq, Jews coming to Jerusalem or the Holy Land, rise of tall buildings, Arabian idolatry, and so on. It's quite interesting. Oppression of Muslims. This is all documented. So all these things, one could take each one of them and, substantiate it. But certainly the four main players or phenomenon that I believe we've entered, I personally, especially since last year, if not, well, basically after COVID, we've entered a period of war, or global war, if you want to call it. well, whatever you want to call it. I think we've entered the Mulhama, and the next, the actors that are going to come on the world stage are Imam Mahdi, the Dajjal, the Jewish Antichrist, and then Jesus. I think that's where we're at. Indeed,
The Jewish Antichrist, because I remember interviewing David Livingstone, the first people that ever suggested to me that this would be a kind of Jewish Messiah. So some Jews, the Zionists, would choose this person as their Messiah, saying, "Oh, they're going to be our great savior, because we're in such difficult, you know, maybe brought on by the Zionist leadership we've got today."
Yes.
But this is interesting, isn't it? The idea that you've got a Christian Messiah, which is a Jewish chap called Jesus, 2,000 years ago, and then another Messiah. Now, this might well propel many Jews to think, well, actually, this guy isn't behaving to me like I would think is a Messiah, and they may turn to Jesus, along as many other Jews have already done, obviously Messianic Jews. But look, what about the way this is manifesting in today's events? You started about that. I think for many of us, that's the interesting thing from a Muslim point of view. I mean, there were many Muslims around the world, and obviously inside mosques and masjids, you know, around the world, people will be thinking about this, talking about it, and discussing. The news is unfolding, almost as if, yes, this prophecy is correct. Look what's happening in front of our eyes.
Yes. So which dimension do you want me to home in? About the facts on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, in the news, what do you see in the news that indicates that some of these prophecies may be coming true right now?
Well, the key one, I've got to think about this carefully because I've been working on this over time, looking at different sources, especially video, is I think we've got, we're in a transition period within based on what I've just said. So if we've entered the last stage of end times, where these four characters and phenomenon, the Mulhama, are going to erupt or have erupted, I would say it has erupted. We've entered it. And in particular, the war with Russia and Europe, if you want to call it, Ukraine, if you don't believe it's Europe or NATO, the war in Russia and Europe and the Middle East now, with the, it's obviously not about Gaza, it's now spilling over into Lebanon, West Bank, etc., Middle East. I think we've entered the Mulhama. Okay, the whole world isn't throwing nuclear bombs at each other, but that's an issue of escalation, right? I think there's a ladder of escalation, but we've entered it. So the two key things we need to look at carefully is what is actually happening in Israel. I call it Israel in my writings, or Israel conventionally. What's really going on there? And secondly, where there is less attention placed is on what's about to happen on the financial front, with the debt mountain and the derivatives mountain. I believe we're at a meltdown stage. Because that will lead to chaos, basically. The point I'm making is both will actually lead to chaos. The wars and the financial meltdown, if you want to call it that. So these two things need to be dissected, but not just dissected. I think we need to look at their convergence. The bottom line is, out of order, out of chaos, they want order, the satanic New World Order masters. And indeed, we mustn't neglect their message at the Olympics, which happened quite interestingly, just a day or two after Netanyahu gave his address in the US Congress. I checked the dates, happened almost within a day or two of each other. So what happened in the Olympics, definitely, I said to you, I believe we've entered this last stage and it's rapidly engulfing the world. Well, the Olympics at the opening and closing ceremonies were clearly satanic. And in their Satanism, they were making a mockery of divine religion, inclusive of Christianity and Islam, and at the beginning and at the end. They were basically, I wouldn't say about calling the shots, but they were making it clear how they view religion as the enemy. All religion, by the way, especially God-centered, them wanting to dictate how the world goes. I think they've set the stage for their Messiah, the false Messiah.
Certainly shoving it in your face during the
Empire.
But, what about what's been going on in Gaza? Because we've seen the horrors there coming on for 45,000 innocent lives, basically lost by the United States, thousands of miles away supplying these weapons and the money to Netanyahu. And also there's a complete lack of rationality in any of the approach which the Israeli people themselves are getting increasingly exasperated about, saying, well, look, Netanyahu doesn't want to end this, including things like assassinating the chief negotiator for Hamas over Iran. There's been a whole series of complete refusals. So what brand of Judaism is it that's now taken hold of Israel? Because it seems that, obviously they started off as a terrorist group, basically, back in 1940.
Yes.
But we've now got nuclear-armed maniacs who have obviously got no interest in peace whatsoever. They just want to expand this war. They're not quite getting what they want at the moment, but they may well do so.
Well, I think you've really touched the real issue here. I'm a graduate of Edinburgh University, the Arab Middle East Islamic Studies Centre, one of the top centres in the UK. I've got our website, and since the war, I've been really, well, not just the war, even since Trump in particular, Declaration of Jerusalem, really gone into my early undergrad studies in a totally, a very deep way. And I've realized, it's what I studied in the early 80s was, it was a degree, master's, etc. But no way, it was a saint, but one had to really, even now, I'm realizing the layers that we need to unravel to understand what's going on. So I want to focus on that very briefly. What I'm going to say, even the so-called experts on Middle East studies do not talk about it, because we're entering a different, dimension. As I mentioned, spiritual warfare, they don't want to go down that direction, or very few of them. But what I'm prepared to say is the following, and it makes sense to what I said about the four actors or dimensions to end times. Firstly, your question was what is happening in Israel or that region, with the boundaries, etc. Well, what I would like to say is that it's quite clear that we're talking about almost, 365 days, almost October 7, almost, that what we're seeing is not just a war, it's a genocidal war. People in the ICG are still talking about intent and trying to clarify it. But the bottom line is, I'm not a jurist, but I can see. I've got eyes. I'm not deaf, dumb and blind, as the Quran says. So what we've got is a genocidal war of extermination of not Hamas. Why on earth are the Israelis now going all out for the West Bank? Hamas isn't in control there, and they're repeating the whole thing again. So basically what we've got is a genocidal war of extermination of Palestine, of what I call Philistine, the Arabic term for occupied Palestine, in Gaza, the West Bank. And my view is their intention is to kill or expel the natives. Where? Either Egypt which is showing resistance even over the Philadelphia corridor, or Jordan. And that obviously they're facing very stiff resistance. According to McGregor, the military expert, he slipped 5,000 Israeli soldiers dead and 100,000 either suffering from trauma or serious limbs, you know, what you call, they have lost limbs, etc. So that they are suffering. So in terms of the resistance, the second alternative is if the Israelis cannot kill or expel, they will want to de-radicalize or demilitarize the whole area. By that I mean the Palestinians. So that's what's going on. However, Netanyahu, Hitler 2.0, as we refer to Netanyahu, isn't just the problem. You'll say, what do I mean by that? Well, it's quite clear he's got extremists in power with him. The Ben-Gavirs, Smotrichs, and God knows many others. The point I'm trying to make is that he wants a bigger war. Whether you believe in Malahama or Armageddon is a eschatological perspective. However, in terms of what he is doing, it's quite clear he is not interested in a ceasefire. That's quite clear from a lot of the comments by Israeli commentators and indeed the military itself, that he doesn't really want a ceasefire, creating so many obstacles. He wants an extension to the war with Iran and its allies. So I believe that fits into, if you don't want to call it a regional war, you could also refer to a global war, because that would suck in Iran's strategic partners like Russia and potentially China. And on the Israeli side, obviously the US and Europe. So basically, we're at the stage where they're pushing now to annex the West Bank. The settlers been given free rein almost, and also the moves by Ben-Gavir threatening Al-Aqsa in different ways. Yeah. So that's what I think's going on. Basically, Zionism is declaring a war on Islam globally. Just to finish off, I read carefully again Netanyahu, Hitler 2.0's speech in the Congress. He is right. Don't usually agree with him. He is right when he talks about a global war that he's at the forefront of. However, he's got his terminology wrong. The war is between civilization, not civilizations, and barbarism. The point I'm making is the barbarians that he is talking about, the global Islamic world, are not the barbarians. He's talking about himself, actually. So, but he's right. The values of live stream genocide, hitting innocents, is barbarism. Absolute no doubt about it. But he's talking about himself. And we are in existential global war.
Yeah, well, it's Dennis Wheatley, who knew a thing or two. He was a writer before and during, and he was involved as a wing commander in deception planning or psychological warfare in World War II. Mm. He talked about Adolf Hitler as a man god and a kind of archetype for the Antichrist. So Netanyahu basically saying the whole world, he is trying to protect the whole world from barbaric Palestinians. Really, you know, what he's doing is he's completely inverting the truth.
Because
he is the big danger, not only to Israel, but also to the rest of the world. And in fact, the sort of ideas that are being spread and the drone warfare and the genocide in Israel, if it's not stopped, could easily spread to right across the world. Anyway, look, I want you to just finally ask you a bit about Albert Pike, because many people have suggested, not least of which is the Daily Star, the Daily Mail, and the Daily Express, amongst other people, suggested that this chap, who was a Confederate Army officer, but also more importantly, he was the Grand Master of the Scottish Rite of Freemasons in the United States in the 1870s. He is supposed to have penned this plan for three world wars. The First World War, for the British to take over the Holy Land, which of course Allenby did. The Second World War, the creation of this Crusader state, the Zionist state. The idea really ultimately being to create a Third World War, which would be so traumatic. I mean, you've been talking about also the economic trauma, which would be happening at the same time.
Yeah.
A couple of big changes they were hoping would be made. One is a brand new financial system, a kind of digital money, blockchain type system with programmable money, which is what's being talked about nowadays. But in a way, more importantly, a kind of new age religion. So a man-made religion to replace those Abrahamic faiths. So what do you make of this so Luciferian plan of Albert Pike?
No, you're spot on. Without going into Albert Pike, which is another discussion, I guess I agree with that analysis. However, more importantly, just to pick up the last point and connect it to what you're saying, this is linked to what's happening in Israel, or Israel. It's linked to the interpretation and controllers of Zionism. All I want to say about that is, again, we're not hearing much about the reality or about the type of Zionism calling the shots, of which Netanyahu, Hitler 2.0, is the, you know, speaking, living voice. Basically, we know that there was a false messiah, Zabbatai Zevi, yeah? Who appeared in the Middle East, and he had systemized his own philosophy, satanic philosophy, satanic Zionist messianism philosophy. And now that was taken up by someone called Jacob Frank. But to cut a long story short, this guy, Jacob Frank, established heretical Kabbalistic Judaism. The bottom line is, this was taken up by the Sabbatean Frankism philosophy, was the basis of the Rothschilds, who bankrolled Zionism. So basically, to cut a long story short, their vision that Netanyahu, Hitler 2.0 is promoting is inspired by a satanic, or we call it Dajjalic Zionism, which, if you don't like those terms, we can look at it, you know, in terms of schools of thought, Sabbatean and Frankist school of thought, which seeks redemption via evil. And they want redemption via evil, and that will be manifested through their savior, the Dajjal, in Jerusalem. And they believe, people like the extremists in power, that the project can only succeed by the perpetration or the promotion of evil of the worst type. And I would go as far as saying even the flag, that this has been a lot of work being done by Philip Bree, for instance, that the flag of Israel is not the Star of David, it's a hexagram and the symbol of idolatry. So that's it. So basically, we've entered, to sum up my views, I think we have entered the final stage of eschatology, especially in the Holy Land or that region. And I believe that Armageddon or the Mulhama, we've entered the start of that. Yeah. And we're in the period where the Muslims have got to be sorted out. Notice what I said, they haven't sorted themselves. They will be sorted out, and that's going to be messy. And the political void in the Islamic world, because we do lack the authentic leadership, will be filled in by Imam Mahdi. So the Malhama, one dimension, and Imam Mahdi are coming. Not coming. It started. And then the Dajjal is going to manifest, and then Isa. We're there. That's where we're at, in my view.
You mentioned Philip Bree there. I wonder maybe we could just finish off with if you could talk about some of the people that you've worked with over the years or just simply read. If you could just let us know a few people like Mohammed Rafiq, for example. I remember meeting him through you many years ago.
Who
worked in the Bank of England, and he had a very deep understanding of all this. So, for example, we had Nick Griffin a few weeks ago talking about, he's from the British National Party, saying that back in 2008, the basically Zionist pressure group from the United States came over and said to him, well, we want to be able to you to focus not on just ordinary migrants, but specifically on Muslims. And if you do that, we can give you a lot of money. But at the same time, you've got to stop criticism of the banking system. So obviously, these things are very well linked. But I wonder if you could just give us a few names, people, maybe books, etc., if people are interested in following up or reading around this topic.
Well, you're talking about Islamic eschatology in particular, as opposed to Christian or Jewish. Yeah, is that right?
Well, any really, anything you you want to share?
Well, I mean, basically, I share all my knowledge real time on our website in the forum. And each of the threads, like eschatology, global financial meltdown, et cetera, are hitting over 1 million hits. So, and I promote other thinkers on video, mainly video. So there's many, because eschatology, you know, it's not like a Bible, right? To say someone, right, there's the book of eschatology. It's a, what's the word? It's a living, working phenomenon, yeah? Many dimensions to it. But to answer your point, people like Mohammed Rafiq, I think some of his materials on Internet Archive on the French Connection. With Daryl Brown, he did many interviews like this on internet radio. David Musa Pidcock, both have died last couple of years in the UK. But the other living character is Sheikh Imran Hussain, an Islamic scholar. He's quite prolific, but we don't have to agree with everything that he says, you know. Certain things we have to be very critical of. There is a lot of thinkers out there. I mean, for instance, today I just put up on one of my threads to our documentaries on Christian Zionism from Al Jazeera for everyone to see.
I think it's probably important to say at this point that, you know, nobody is saying that anybody has got all the answers. But extent, for you and I and most sensible people, we see this as a bit of a jigsaw puzzle. With maybe one person has got a couple of pieces to the jigsaw puzzle, but a different puzzle and they don't fit. So maybe we just turn those aside. Anyway, just what's your Global Vision website? So people can find that sort of thing, or other social media that you might want to follow, Murray.
I'm happy to say it's still live and kicking. There's www.globalvision2000.com, and there we have a link to the forum. Final thing is, I've got the green light for a seminar, virtual colloquium, with the African Islamic Economic Forum, who are willing to host virtual seminar on eschatology, which will continue the work we've done over the past years, yeah, which will be interfaith, also have a live audience. So we're planning to do that just before the US election. So watch a space, because up till now I've been focusing on deep research on what's been happening. And as I said, we've entered the final stage. So maybe it's
most fascinating is some of the public symposiums you've done, which brings all these different characters together for a kind of comparison. Yes. Moeen Yassin from Global Vision 2000, thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Tony, for having me. Thank you.